Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I am yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again in the middle of the mitten, in a green, nutrient-filled field, in the mothership, with my good friend, Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle. Craig, happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to you too, Todd.
This is a Father's Day show.
Is it really?
We're in the green field, and joining us today is going to be my good friend and associate. We worked together for years, decades. Robert J. Pizzielli, attorney at law, will be coming on the show soon.
Okay.
What a great day. What a great show. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.
And even a couple of you mothers out there, too.
Absolutely, because there are mothers who serve as fathers.
That was what I was talking about.
I bet you were, my man. I bet you were. Hey, I hope everybody out there is having a great day. It doesn't matter what you're doing or who you are doing it with. Just be happy and love one another today. That's our message today. Love one another.
And if anything, grill Todd a steak for Father's Day. So what are your kids doing for Father's Day for you? Do you get that anymore? Or?
Yesterday was the Lumberjack 100.
Okay.
It was a 100-mile bike race in the Manistee Forest at the Big M Trail.
Oh, okay.
So it was three 33-mile laps.
Wow.
Hundreds of racers from all over the country and across the ocean. I was one of the participants, and it started at 7 a.m. So my family was out there supporting me, because after you do the first 33 miles, you come out of the woods, take about a 5-minute break, you know, fill your water bottles up. So I had my adult kids filling my water bottles, making sure I had, you know, all the calories I needed for the next 33 miles on the single track. It's a brutal race.
That's crazy. 100 miles.
Absolutely.
Wow.
My good friend Chris Malpe was out there. Chris is one of the owners at Terry's Bike Shop with Napper in Elma, Michigan, one of my favorite bike shops I go to. I support all the bike shops. Ray's, Moreless Motions, Einstein's, a great shop up there in Traverse City. Just get out and enjoy yourself. So that was my Father's Day present. Although my kids weren't able to see much of me because I was in the woods most of the day.
Sure. It
makes what about you?
Sense.
What'd you do?
I actually drove to St. Louis and got my kids. My kids live in Texas right now. So I went to St. Louis and picked them up and back. And now they're here for another month or so.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. So that's awesome.
You'd
so
be I'm a cool father.
I am a cool dad.
No, you really are.
No, there's no way around it.
But when your kids are adults, I mean, is your child or children, are they adults?
14 and 12.
Okay.
So not, they're getting there.
When your children are adults and they text or call you, it's completely for different things. It's usually because they need something.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just saying. And if I recall, it starts at an earlier age, but when they're really adults, it's like, especially if they call you or text you at a time of the day that you're not used to them contacting you.
Yeah, they don't do that just for the heck of it.
Am I right about that?
No, very much so. Hey, I just went and got my kids. My daughter's 14, and she had called me about a week ago and said, I think I'm going to need a new phone. My phone is dying. And of course, I got a phone for her a couple of years ago on her birthday. So I'm like, I haven't even picked you up yet, and I'm already got to spend money on you on a new phone. you know, but that's exactly it. Kid, you know, that you know, when I get a text and I see my son there and he's like, hey, Dad, can you talk for a second? Oh, buddy, what do you need now?
Especially at a time of the day that you're not normally used to them contacting. Hey, let's welcome back to the show, by the way. He's a father, attorney Robert J. Pizzielli. He is my best friend. I was the best man in his wedding. We worked together throughout the last 23 years. We went to the Super Bowl together.
Really?
We went to Central together, Fire Up Chips.
Fire Up
we
Chips.
Were fraternity brothers together.
Woo-hoo.
And he's sitting right next to me, attorney Robert J. Pizzielli. Rob, welcome to the show, Piz Dog.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
So this is the famous Piz Dog that I've heard about. Cool. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
That's good. That's awesome, man.
So, Rob, I mean, you have children. I know your kids very well. What's your plans today for Father's Day?
Well, we'll be hanging out at my mother-in-law's celebrating Father's Day with my father-in-law, hanging out at the pool, enjoying the summer weather.
Now, I'm going to ask both of you guys as fathers, do you think we as dads, we get gypped when it comes to Father's Day? Because Mother's Day, I mean, because let's face it, moms are probably more important than dads. I mean, without a mom, you know, there's no kids. But fathers, I think sometimes we get a little gypped when it comes to fathers.
Wait a minute. Without a mom, there's no kids. Isn't having children a codependent relationship?
Is.
I mean, I'm not going to talk about it on the air, but I've seen the cartoons, you know, when you see the little cartoon figure swimming up the river there looking for an egg. Does it not take two? But I will agree with you on this. I have no problem over-celebrating Mother's Day compared to Father's Day because there's something that's very, I mean, a father is special, but there's something very special about a mother. Now, I'm not an OBGY, but I've been there, so I can't give out advice and having kids. But no, mothers, I'll give it to mothers on that one.
Well, I mean, because I'm going to say this much. I know for me personally, now, when I have gone out with my kids and we've bought in my ex, their mom, Mother's Day presents, we always try to think of thoughtful Mother's Day presents. You know, mom needs a new toaster, mom wants this, mom wants that. When I get my Father's Day present a couple of years ago, and I hope they're not listening right now, I got a plastic Snoopy plate. Now, it's great and everything, but obviously mom did not spend a lot of time with them finding me a really good present. And we spent a lot of time on finding her the right present.
That's pretty funny that you should say that. Actually, Rob's son is calling right now, but that's funny you should say that because, you know, do moms remind the kids, hey, by the way, it's Father's Day. We need to go find a present for your father. I can tell you this, look, just being with your kids is special. So.
Sure.
And speaking of Father's Day, we have a Daniel from Midland, an attorney, young attorney, sent me an email. And I want to thank him for that. And he wanted us to discuss edibles and the danger that edibles pose and are posing in other states where cannabis is legal due to the childlike labeling of some of these products.
Oh, like some of those candies?
Like gummy bears.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So as much as we advocate for legalization across the board, extracts, cannabis in every form, I agree that there still are problems out there with labeling. And a lot of states have taken action in that regard, but I can't disagree with that statement that we want our kids to be safe. You know, if you're a parent and you're in a state where it's legal, you go to a dispensary provisioning center, you purchase a product, you come home, you leave it on the counter, kitchen counter, your child who doesn't know any different because it looks like something they'll find at the candy store opens it up. It is true. There have been cases where both animals have gotten sick and in some cases died. And there have been cases, and again, I can't say this is factually accurate because I haven't seen it firsthand, but you read about it, whether you believe it or not. And I do believe it, that there's some cases where there have been some young children who, and you know, you got to think about the parents. If the parents went, you know, I will throw it back to the parents because if they went to the dispensary, purchased the product, knowing that their four-year-old should not ingest it, and the four-year-old does ingest it, and we're talking about a product that's not hemp or a CBD, we're talking about something that has more of the, you know, psychoactive THC in it, that's an issue. And parents need to be self-aware and self-police themselves, as with anything, around guns and alcohol and all kinds of other things.
It's no different than letting a child run out in the middle of the road and play in traffic.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's the thing. It does start at the home. The parents need to be responsible. If they buy these products, they need to take the proper precautions to make sure that they're in a safe place so that the child can't have access to these things. But this is also an issue that the tobacco industry had faced. I don't know if you remember that Joe Camel character that was on the cigarette pack, but they had lawsuits against that, that they had to eliminate those cartoon characters associated with tobacco to make those not as attractive to the kids.
That's a great point. I remember that.
And on top of it, let's also think about Spuds McKenzie. They did it with beer commercials too. You've had a lot of that kind of stuff. Now, we've talked about it before. The state of Michigan, of course, is probably going to become
it will be wrecked in 2018. Do you agree with that, Pizzielli?
I do.
Okay. Now, we've talked about
that was great Father's Day inflection from attorney Robert J. Pizzielli right here on the Title 11 Law Show, featuring my good friend Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle 5 days a week, including Saturday.
Can you tell Rob he wants to be on the air? I mean, like, do you want to do like a rock and roll show? Can you see? Can you hear that?
I can tell. Yes,
yeah.
Well, before you joined the show, I was advocating for Todd's Rock Block on 98.5 UPS.
We'll see about
maybe
that.
Smitty will let me do it on Rock 105 together with 95.5.
I can't speak for Smitty, but we'll
back
see
to what we're
that.
Talking about. Yes. We're talking about edibles and the proper packaging of these products so that children, don't get confused.
Well, we've been talking a lot about in the last few weeks about how the state of Michigan is starting to ramp up to become a rec state, how they're going about things the right way to set this up so maybe we won't have the pitfalls of other states that have had this. And let's hope this is one of those things that we'll learn about. We'll learn from the mistakes of other states where this has become a problem, and in Michigan this won't be a problem. Of course, you can hear the show all over the world. I mean, we're worldwide in podcasts, SoundCloud, and iTunes and things like that. But in the state of Michigan right now, this is not something legal. You want to make sure that we learn from the other states and make it so that those kind of things don't happen.
That's correct. That's a fair statement. Hey, we got to go to break, by the way.
Okay.
But when we come back from break, we're going to continue talking about safety issues. Robert J. Pizzielli would like to talk about probation when someone is placed on probation.
Wait. Law show? You're going to talk about law?
Well, we're going to try to talk about
pissed law. Piss dog, my man.
And I'm fired up with, I've had my standard cappuccino shot this morning with a little espresso.
Oh,
but Craig, before we go to break, big shout out to Jeff and Brian Burns.
Okay.
And Tony Moses and Chuck Moses. So we got two sets of brothers there.
All right.
So I ran into Tony Moses, who's a great attorney. Isabella County, he's Gratiot, up in Roscommon, all over the state. And Chuck Moses, his brother, also an attorney from Higgins Lake area. And he said that, give a big shout out to Jeff and Brian Burns. They have listened to the show. So big shout out
That's
to those
awesome.
Guys.
Now, are they attorneys as well?
No.
Okay.
But they're great guys.
Do you find there's a lot of brothers who are attorneys?
No.
Okay.
We have to go to break. By the way, Cinderella opening the show.
Strong
Cinderella. And you know what the name of the song is? Get this. Somebody Save Me. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, what took you so long? I am attorney Todd L. Levitt out of Central Michigan, the middle of the mitten. I practice criminal defense, from south to Gratiot, all the way across the bridge to the far corners of the UP. Criminal defense, I do a lot of drinking and driving cases, drug cases.
Yep.
I have a complaint, by the way.
Okay.
Because I am a defense attorney.
Sure.
And we say it every week. I cannot say this enough. We wholeheartedly support law enforcement.
Right.
But I have been fielding phone calls over the last 2 weeks from individuals who are getting busted for just having a couple grams on them. Just a couple grams of marijuana on them. And now to take somebody, place them under arrest, have to have them post bond. The vehicle's impounded. In most cases, they have to hire an attorney. They go to court. In a lot of cases, they're placed on random drug testing and maybe alcohol. We're talking over a couple grams here. Once placed on probation, it could be anywhere from 4 to 6 months to a year of probation with classes and whatnot. Over a couple grams, when the state and the citizens have spoken, at least in the Minton state, more than, 62-64% are in favor, and it's going up, of legalizing cannabis, which is going to be rec in 2018. My point is, when I receive these phone calls, my heart goes out to these folks because these are just normal people and they're just passing through. And again, law enforcement, do they have discretion? Yes. But at the end of the day, folks, as much as this pains me and upsets me, they're just doing their job.
Well, sure. You can't fault them for that.
But the laws are changing. So if an officer says, you know, okay, you have cannabis on you, I'm going to let you go, the officer is putting his or her job in jeopardy. And that officer does have a family to support. So I'm going to, although I'm not happy about it, but the laws are changing. They can't change soon enough for me. But that's a great segue because Rob wants to talk about probation. But go ahead. What's your question?
Okay. No, well, that's what I was going to say. That's what ends up being a lot of times. You're probably talking, I'm sure you're talking to a lot of young people.
Well, most of the people are in their 40s and 50s and some in their 60s who are on four-wheeling, they're ORVing, or they're in a motor vehicle and they happen to get stopped by the DNR or law enforcement of some capacity. And, you know, the questions are asked. And by the way, when you're first pulled over, an officer, all he or she is doing is an investigation. And most people just volunteer the information, which you have a right to remain silent and not self-incriminate yourself. But most of the people are older.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I do represent a lot of young people, but sure, it happens to everybody.
Right. So, I mean, what does probation do to somebody, especially if you're older? I mean, they've got to probably be mortified thinking they're going to lose their job or stuff like that. Talk a little bit about probation.
Yeah, so I'm going to have attorney Robert J. Pizzielli talk about that.
Okay.
But I'd like to say this, in fairness to most of the judges out there and prosecutors, if you're 45 or 50, you've never been in trouble before, or you were maybe 25, 30 years ago, most judges that I come in contact with and prosecutors are very fair and lenient, and they understand the will of the people and where things are going.
Right.
Albeit, don't get me wrong, they're still doing their jobs. But Rob's going to talk about some issues once you're on bond and or probation, what could happen.
Talk about that. Talk about some of the problems you can have.
With the probation, you're going to be had the judge is going to sentence you to a term of probation, whatever that may be, certain requirements that you have to fulfill while you're on probation. And that length of probation can vary, and that's up to the discretion of the judge. But it's important that you fulfill all of those terms of probation without getting any violations or a second offense while you're on probation, because if you violate, not only are you going to be subject to the court on the second offense, but you'll be violating the terms of your probation, which puts you in jeopardy again. And so then you'll have to go in front of the judge on that matter, and the judge is going to decide what to do. So you have the option of having a hearing in that probation violation matter. If you choose to that, then it's like having a regular, you know, a hearing. You'll present your case to the judge, and he'll decide if you're, you know, guilty or not guilty. Or you can just enter a plea of guilty and subject yourself to the discretion of the judge in terms of your violation of that probation.
Now, I know when Todd was saying, you know, a lot of times the judges that he finds that are lenient, I would imagine if you're on probation, let's say it's a year probation, and 6 months into it, you get pulled over again, and you either second offense or something possibly worse. I would like to believe probably most judges aren't going to be very lenient at that point.
And that under that scenario, most cases you're going to jail.
Yeah.
If you're on probation for drinking and driving, and you pick up a second offense while on probation, I mean, that says to the court and society, you're a threat not only to yourself, but everybody else out there that's on the road. But let me just back up a second. You know, if somebody, let's say they're 45, 52, 63, they get pulled over, and we're going to continue talking about probation here in a moment. This leads to it. And you get caught with a couple grams, and now you go before the court. The purpose of probation is to rehabilitate somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And if the court determines after an assessment, so you enter a plea, you go in front of probation, and a probation officer, someone professionally, will assess your needs, either for counseling, classes, whatnot. But if you're 45, 50, and it's your first offense, do you really need to be rehabilitated? Is it necessary to put you on probation and tie your entire existence up where you have to report and randomly test and take time from work? I say no. Like, there's no reason to put those people on probation. And rightfully so, a lot of judges see my point of view. I'm not speaking for all judges or any specific judge, But in fairness to the judiciary and probation officers, they see that. But if you're in your 40s and 50s and you've been in trouble every decade multiple times, well, then you're going to get more supervision and end up in jail.
Well, now, is it possible, though, that a judge will say, you're 45 and we've just caught you for the first time, maybe the first time in 25 or 30 years, or maybe for the first time ever, maybe you've just been slipping by, and maybe that's where they think that you will need to be rehabilitated. You've just never gotten caught.
Good point, because that's what their point. They see these things every day.
Right.
And they're not willing to just accept your apology as a good reason to just let you off the hook. And so they're looking to send a message not only to you, but everybody else who's in that same situation.
Well, and on top of it, and also to, let's say you're 45 or 50, you probably got kids. You probably got other people, you know, maybe you've got, you know, a bunch of buddies who get together and do whatever you do. You want to send a message that, hey, you need to be more careful because obviously we caught you now. Maybe you've just been getting by for all these years, and they have to look at it from a standpoint of, if this person has been a habitual offender, just never have gotten caught, maybe now is the way to maybe turn this person around, get them.
Yeah,
back
but the,
on the
odds
straight
are hand. The odds are, for my 23 plus years as a criminal defense attorney, working, by the way, for 12 years in Metro Detroit, including Detroit, if you're in 45, 50 and you just get caught, but what you're saying, which could be the case in some cases, that you've gone your entire life and you've been drinking, driving, and doing things you shouldn't, you just never got caught. My experience is, people who break the law get caught, and they
true.
Do it time and time again. Now, there are listeners out there who are listening and saying, wait a minute, I drank last night and drove. First of all, do not drink and drive. In the state of Michigan, you can consume alcohol, get behind the wheel, as long as your blood alcohol does not reach 0.08 or higher. But here's the thing. Everybody's different. Your body's different. You can have a beer, and you can be a 0.04, and because your body type, your metabolism, that may, with other medication you're taking, prescription pills, impair your ability to operate a motor vehicle. You could still be pulled over and charged with impaired driving if there's certain factors that can be proven. But so my point is, well, let me just say this. My point is, I forgot my point. Because
I interrupted you.
No, it's not that. It's just you have the bobblehead, Walter White, right next to the mic. And I keep looking at you and looking at Walter White. Love Breaking Bad. But the point is this. People who are our age, if they're that reckless, they've gotten caught throughout the decades. Okay, so yeah, somebody is 52 years of age, they go to court for the first time, they don't need to be rehabilitated. Now, it depends on the crime, sure. But I'm just saying, it goes back to my original story of a lot of people calling my office lately who are getting charged with possession of marijuana for just a couple grams. There's bigger problems out there that need to be addressed rather than busting people for something where it's going recreational next year, and the citizens have spoke. Leave us alone.
Bye.
I'm just saying, hey, leave my people alone. I'm just saying, leave my people alone.
But
we're talking a couple grams here.
So, no. You swing that microphone back over here, Todd Lovett. All right.
Can
so
you remove Walter White? Because I'm distracted.
Walter White's moving.
And
also
Saul Goodman. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let me say this to you.
I'm going
to
Craig Russell bobble.
They're out there. I'm not going to tell you where you can find
them. Happy Father's Day. Go ahead.
Okay.
What are you going to say?
I was going to say, how legal is 2 grams of marijuana in the state of Michigan right now, today?
Well, let me ask you this. Are you implying that if someone has 2 grams, they're a cardholder or a caregiver?
That should be something you should find out.
There are certain municipalities that have decriminalized it. The city of Mount Pleasant decriminalized it. So if you're 21 years or older and you're in your own residence, you can possess a certain amount.
See, Rob, I've been on the show with him enough now. I'm starting to think like him, because that's exactly the point I was going to make. You're saying you could have a couple grams on you. Well, if that police officer did his job and found out that that person had a card, then you're right. They should not be rehabilitated.
I'm referring to cases, though, where people are not card holders or caregivers.
Right.
And here's the thing. I'm just going to say it. We're talking maybe more than a couple grams.
I know.
Just let my people go. I'm not telling officers not to do their job, but I would rather them go after the car that just sped by them that has something more serious or dangerous in the vehicle other than the 45-year-old man and woman who are on their way to a concert. That's all I'm saying.
And that's probably, and you would like to believe that's what happens.
And that is not the opinion of the radio station or its sponsors. That's the opinion of Todd Levitt from Todd's Rock Black and the Todd Levitt Law Show with Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle and Robert J. Pizzielli, attorney at law, Rob is now jacked up on cappuccino. Rob, welcome to the show and happy Father's Day.
Thanks, Todd. Happy Father's Day to you.
when we come back, we got to take a break. But when you two hopped up on cappuccino dudes come back.
Hey, listen, we're fired up.
No, I know you are. Fire up chips.
Fire up chips. I'm a chip.
I know. So am I. And so are you. You went. Yep.
Fire up chips.
There you go. When we come back, you'll talk more about probation because I've got some more questions about, because probation is a serious thing. Sometimes don't think people take it as seriously as it should be, whether or not it's for rehabilitation or whatever it is. But you don't follow the rules of probation, you can get in some serious trouble. But we'll get to that after we get to this break. The Todd L. Lovett Law Show.
Take us out. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, joined in studio from the mothership in a green field, a nutrient green field in the middle of the mitten, with my good friend, attorney Robert J. Pizzialli, and my other close friend, Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle, broadcasting 5 days a week on UPS, including Saturday.
Which makes it 6 days a week.
Exactly. Hey, when can people catch your show?
6 to 10, Monday through Friday, and then 9 to 2 on Saturdays.
Outstanding. And if you miss any portion of this show, you can subscribe to it. Go to your phone, go to the App Store, and download the podcast app. Just type in podcast. It's free. And then type in my name, Todd Levitt. You can subscribe to the show. And be sure to download the UPS app, and you can listen to WUPS all the time. And I also recommend the sister stations, Rock 105, 95.5, and all the other stations that are part of Black Diamond Broadcasting Group,
which are Big Country 102.9 out of Northern Michigan, also The Bear, Classic Rock, and what am I forgetting? I know I'm forgetting something else. Oh, yeah. The Twister.
Which is
country out of Houghton Lake as well, so a bunch of stations.
And big shout out to my sponsors of the show. When you hear the sponsors of this show, I want to thank them for, you know, sponsoring the show and also being part of the Black Diamond Group.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Norm Mike do a great job. Cherie behind the scenes. We love them all. Hey, by the way, big pizza shout outs right now. Big pizza shout outs.
Love pizza. What pizza is this? What pizza place?
Hometown Pizza.
Oh, okay.
Sanford.
Okay.
My good buddy Greg Brady owns it. It's some of the best pizza around. Hometown Pizza. In Sanford.
Is this going to be a story of a man?
No, it's not. I mean, I worked at pizza places for years. It's great pizza.
Totally missed it.
I didn't catch it. What did you say?
I said, is this going to be a story about a man named Brady? Greg Brady?
Oh, I know.
Greg Brady, come on!
I know. And then Pizza King, my buddy Kyle, out in Wademan. I was cutting through Wademan on my way to Beerton one day. I always stop off at Pizza King. Kyle, the owner out there. Pizza King is also in Mount Pleasant here.
That's right.
But when I was cutting through, I always stop off at the Wademan Pizza King. They got great pizza also, so big shout out to them also.
Are those Pizza Kings all connected? Because when I was growing up, there was a Pizza King in Portage. I
believe the one out in Wademan is Kyle's.
Okay.
Kyle's alone, and he just expanded into a large restaurant seating area, good. And he's got That's a great awesome. Staff, great quality pizza. But hometown, Pizza King. Let's get back to the show of shows here with Robert J. Pizzialli.
I got to get some pizza.
I love pizza. Are you kidding me?
You and me both.
I could eat a whole pizza.
I had a whole pizza before I came in.
Yeah, I had a hot dog before this we morning. Came in. I had a hot dog before we came in. Cold.
I was going to say.
I'm just Joe, I'm cappuccino. No, I'm just doing a cappuccino right now. No, I'm going to crash after the show.
What are you doing for Father's Day? You have a steak made or anything?
No, I don't have a steak made. Yesterday was a Lumberjack 100. I shredded the NAR 100 miles, 333-mile laps, and I'm just chilling and illing and chillaxing today in this green field.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful field. Let's get back to probation.
Yeah, we were talking about probation with the Piz Dog. I love that.
Robert J. Pizzialli, I call him Piz Dog.
I love that.
But when you're on probation, here's the issue, and I know Rob will talk about this. Well, let's just back up a second. If you have one case, you get pulled over, and there's a drinking and driving case pending. And while on bond, you pick up another case, another misdemeanor or felony. Now, here's what can happen. The prosecutor can file a motion, if they catch it, and revoke the bond. And then whoever posted the bond in their name is going to lose that money.
That's bad.
Or if you go through a bondsman, there's a lot of great companies out there. You know, they're going to come pick you up if there's a warrant. But here's the point. When you go to court on the first offense that you're on bond for drinking and driving, and you're sentenced, and the second offense is still pending, you should expect to go to jail. And Rob's going to talk about that. Yeah. Why? Rob, talk about that.
Todd, I'm glad you brought this up because I had a case just like that. My client was picked up for drinking and driving. We went and pled him down to impaired. While we were waiting for sentencing, he picked up a driving while license suspended. I get it. We all have to get to where we need to go. You've got your support group, but they're not necessarily around every time you need a ride somewhere. That was this guy's situation. He chose to drive, which I am not condoning, but I completely understand where he was coming from.
But hold on, more to the story. These are separate courts. So his client is going through one district court, and he picked up a driving on suspended in a different jurisdiction.
Oh.
This is out. This is downstate.
Okay.
Okay. And we'll give out Rob's number in a minute if somebody wants to hire him. So what happened was on the first offense, which was drinking and driving, he refused the chemical test. So now he lost his license due to an implied consent suspension. A lot of people don't understand that even though the case is pending, if you refuse a chemical test, the state's still going to take your license from you. So am I correct, Piz? This individual was confused that the state took his license before the first case went through?
Correct. That is correct. So we were looking to get him a license with the implied consent through the circuit court, and he picked up this driving while license suspended in another jurisdiction. We ended up resolving that on one day. He pled guilty and paid some fines and costs because in that jurisdiction, it was better to handle it in front of the magistrate instead of going and waiting to hear it before the judge, because they're very, very, can be very strict. And he probably would have gone to jail just having had that, even though he didn't violate in that district court. So then we went back to the first district court where the impaired charge was pending for sentencing. And the judge was very reasonable and did not sentence him to jail, knew about the violation. And I told my client to be open with the judge and the probation officer, let them know what's going on. Because the last thing that you want to do is, and I recommend this to everybody, is if you violate, to act as though you're trying to conceal information, because they will find out that information and you will pay a greater price for trying to conceal that, thinking you're going to, you know, somehow skirt the system.
Now, I got a question for both of you attorneys, because this is something that we've talked about before many times, about your right to not incriminate yourself, your right to remain silent. But in some situations, especially after the fact, it is better to be open and not try and hide things. Am I correct?
Well, as Rob was indicating, you know, since he had one case pending and resolved the second case before the first case, when Rob went back, Rob Pizzielli, attorney here, went back to the first case, absolutely, you have to disclose that to the court. First, as an attorney, you have an obligation. And I've had clients say, well, if we don't say anything, and I go, no, we're going to say something because I'm obligated to. And second of all, you're obligated to because you're on bond. But here's another situation. Rob had a similar case where there was alcohol and drugs involved in both cases. So he had somebody going through the court system with alcohol and or drugs and picked up another case while that was pending for alcohol or drugs.
Whew.
And you inform the individual that now they put themselves in a position where they're going to go to jail. Talk about that and the reaction sometimes of family members when that takes place.
We're at the courthouse and we are there for sentencing. Again, this was the second case was, again, in a separate jurisdiction, but it happened while this matter was pending for sentencing. And, you know, typically when you're that second violation, you know, there is a concern of jail, but it's not necessarily going to happen there because there isn't a violation. The violation that is with the first case. So we get there for sentencing and the judge throws up the report indicating that he had this violation and wanted to make sure that we were aware of it. And he was aware of it and we were aware of it. And he sentenced my guy to some jail time, which I had notified my client that that was a possibility.
Sure.
There were family members there in the courtroom and were very upset with me and the judge. However, this individual put themselves in that situation. It was really not much leeway that I had, flexibility with the judge or anything to try and negotiate anything, because the judge even asked my client, sitting in the courtroom, what should I do? What should I do? Now, here you are in front of all these people who may have a similar situation on violation, and I'm going to just let you go because now I have to let everyone go. And I can't set that precedent in my courtroom. And he ended up getting some jail time.
So, again, that was two cases involving substance. So if you're on bond for a drinking and driving or some type of drug offense, and while on bond, as in this case Rob just discussed, you go out and pick up a similar case, any judge, and if I was a judge, that person's going to jail. But what happened was the family members at the time, one, if you don't, as an attorney, your obligation is not to the family.
No.
It doesn't matter who pays you.
Yeah, it's
to your client.
Sure.
And unless that client signs a waiver giving you permission to speak to the family, you cannot do so. In fact, when you come into my office as a criminal defense attorney, there's nothing on anyone's desk. You will not see anyone's files. Everything is confidential. I'll tell loved ones, if you could excuse us, I'd like to talk to so-and-so so that I can get the full story.
Mm-hmm.
Point being is, in Rob's case, if his client never informed his parents, one, of the second offense, and two, that they were going to, there's a possibility of jail, yeah, they're going to get upset with the attorney. Like, this is my son's first offense. Why is he going to jail? But it's not Rob's job to inform the parents because he can't disclose that to them. But in this case, he did disclose it to the client who said it's okay to talk to the parents, and they were really upset with Rob. But at the end of the day, it's not the judge's fault. It's not even the attorney's fault. I mean, if you put yourself in that position and you need to take responsibility for it. Now, as a defense attorney, the last thing we want is our clients going to jail.
Yeah, that's a case of, like, if you were a baseball pitcher, you've lost the game.
I think it's important as an attorney, if you specialize in this area as we do in criminal defense, to make sure that your clients don't have false expectations. And that's something we do very carefully when they, and this is not a solicitation. If you come to our office, we're going to tell you, look, you're on bond. That means you cannot drink. That means you cannot break the laws. You sign those bond conditions, you better abide by them. And earlier, Pizdog right here had said that they went before the magistrate, which was better than going before the judge. We do not judge shop. A lot of these cases do go before magistrates, and they only have limited jurisdiction. So it's not that Rob was judge shopping. The courts utilize magistrates, and magistrates do a great job in assisting the courts and moving the docket. I just wanted to state that.
Having never been.
Does that make sense?
It makes perfect
sense. Do I make sense?
You make perfect
sense. Am I ADD or am I focused today? Give
You're
me a
both.
Few.
You're both.
No, I'm not. Wait, this is Todd, the Todd 11 Law Show right here in the mothership.
Yeah.
Broadcasting on Father's Day.
That's right. Happy Father's Day to all
Happy
the fathers.
Happy Father's Day to everyone out there.
That's right.
Hug someone with consent.
When we come back, we got to take a break, but when we come back, because we still got to get to the end all about probation, that this is a big, serious deal.
Yeah. Also, I do, believe it or not, have a hemp update.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I want to talk about hemp products for dogs right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. We'll be right back after this break from Howard Cosell.
Woof.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong, folks, with Cinderella, Somebody Save Me, Rat, Cinderella, Poison, Great White, White Lion, Snake. There was no group name.
White Snake.
White Snake.
Yeah.
White Snake. I love those groups.
Tell when you
80s.
Grew up, man.
Asia.
All those.
Remember Asia?
All those hair. They're going to be here next week.
Is that right?
Asia. They're opening up for Journey at Soaring Eagle.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Yeah.
I just want to rock it. I just want to turn it and burn it and churn it. And just grow my hair long again and just go to a hair band concert, then do a mosh pit. I saw Limp Bizkit a couple times.
You need a wig.
My hair, I could grow it long if I wanted to.
I know,
it out.
But yeah, but you can't.
I don't need a wig.
No.
I just grow. But when you get older, it's hard to grow your hair long.
And then what are you going to do? Cut
you know
it
who's
every
got
time?
Great hair?
Who's got great hair?
I watched Deadliest Catch.
Okay.
Captain Wild Bill. You ever watch Deadliest Catch?
Never seen
well, I'm
it
sure there's some listeners out there who watch Deadliest Catch.
Sure.
Pizdog?
I've seen it.
I love Wild Bill, man. His hair, he's my hair king. Also, I got a buddy of mine, Big Hair, who listens to the show from Gratiot County.
Okay.
Big shout out to Big Hair.
Big Hair.
Big Hair. Hey, we got
you know a lot of interesting people, man. That's all I know.
You have no
idea. I know.
I like the world I live in. And I like the people who I'm with and surrounded by.
Well, that's what you should.
You know what? Because just like you and Pizdog, I don't know about Pizdog, but I do know about Pizdog. I didn't grow up with money. People think because you're an attorney, oh, you know, you grew up this way. No. I don't feel comfortable. I could never live in Birmingham. No offense to anyone listening from Birmingham or Bloomfield Hills. No, it's
Royal
not,
Oak,
not
Royal,
happening.
Royal Oak?
Royal Oak, but I don't feel comfortable around the, you know, that. So mm-hmm. the people I surround myself with, and that's not to say the people who live there aren't good people. I just surround myself with the blue collar, you know, hardworking men and women of this country.
Salt of the earth, people.
So, and we're not Republican. We're not Democrats. What are we?
We're Americans.
Americans.
That's right.
First and foremost. And right. Can I just tell you something? I don't even watch TV anymore. I've had it with the politics. Can we just get on with governing here? That's all I want to say. Get on with. No, I'm not happy about foreign countries. I'm not going to get into this interfering in our election. I interfering in the election. I didn't say the outcome. I'm just saying I don't want hate mail interfering in the election. Can we just move on and fix that problem? And let's just move on and fix the country.
Now, here's the thing.
And I'm not a Democrat Republican.
I'm an American. No, I know.
I'm just tired of politicians. I've had it with politicians. I want to see the iron worker run the country.
Or the directional driller run the country. Turning the wheel.
Or the single mother
turning the
running
wheel.
The country.
Turning the wheel.
We got to get back to the topic.
That's right. Biz Dog's here.
You think I'm joking about
no,
this?
No, I don't think you're joking about it.
I got friends who are over-the-road truck drivers. They could run the country a lot better than most of the men and women running our country.
I understand, dude, but I end up getting enough. I have to deal with enough listener email.
Right.
I don't want to have to deal
all
with
all right, back to the show. Politics.
Back to the Piz Dog.
But I do agree with Todd. I think we need to get back to the business of running the country.
Get on your Facebook pages and talk about this
stuff.
No,
we don't talk about it on Facebook.
We don't talk about it here.
It's the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Did you hear the name?
I know.
I got to talk about it. I love you, but I got to talk about that because it just burns me up.
I know.
But
you said your name. What's the name of the show again?
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Law Show.
Yeah, but it's the end of the title.
Not Todd L. Levitt Politics Show. Law Show.
All right. Piz Dog, what do you got for? Hey, let me give a hemp update.
Oh, we're going to do the hemp update now? Okay.
Yes. And by the way, hemp, who people out there living another planet, is a durable, eco-friendly fiber.
That's right.
That has woven its way into a range of natural and sustainable products now for dogs. What do you think
like
of that?
Like what?
Well, let's see. Hemp is now making, and by the way, it's made from the fibers of the cannabis sativa plant.
Okay.
The beautiful plant. And it's used for making everything from paper, building materials, paper, and now natural pet products. In fact, Craig, hemp is finding its way into a variety of dog products, including collars, leashes, toys, apparel, bedding, and more. And I'm happy to say that now in Kentucky, the great state of Kentucky, approved 209 applications from growers to cultivate up to 12,800 acres of industrial hemp for research purposes. First of all, we don't have to do any more research on hemp. That's a crock. It's been around for 30, 40,000 years. The Constitution, I believe, is written on hemp. Okay?
I lived in Kentucky.
I love Kentucky.
Kentucky's a great place.
But as farmers can plant hemp, talk about increasing the economy and helping our families. All right, let's get back to probation.
No. We have to ask.
I thought you're turning the wheel.
We do have to get back to that. But I have to ask a question about the hemp. So that hemp fiber, there's no THC, there's no marijuana, there's nothing in the hemp. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So if you made a dog chew with this hemp, Rover isn't going to be wandering around the house a little stoned at some point if he's like chewing on the rope of the toy, the hemp toy.
No, as we said in the first segment, if as long as you're products are not somewhere where your pets and children can get to it. Let's not talk about hemp. We're talking about other more psychoactive THC products that you get at a provisioning center. But back to the hemp, no, there's you cannot get high from hemp.
Okay.
Let's just get that straight.
All right.
And now, by the way, CBD, we always talk about CBDs. It's I believe it's one of at least 123 cannabinoids. I just want to say that.
Okay. All right.
And did you know that hemp used to be legal in the United States?
Did not.
It was. And was a crucial material in us winning World War II.
There show's you go. Over. Show's over.
And
all done.
Mind here's the thing.
Blown. Didn't know that.
We talked about the DEA and CBDs last week. I spoke to a few of the attorneys who are handling the lawsuit, and there's no way in heck CBD it should or will be considered, you know, illegal to the point where the feds are going to, you know, stop all the CBD sales that are currently taking place right now. I mean, it's sold everywhere in the United States. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So
you can do that.
I'm not telling anybody to break the law. We're a law show.
No.
I just want to say that.
No, I understand that.
It does not contain the psychoactive properties as THC does. All right, let's get.
Dude, I just thought of something. You want? I'm picking up on your ADD. I swear I am.
What? He's my best friend, attorney Robert J. Pizzio.
No, we've never played Breaking the Law. We never used that song. Breaking the Law.
Yeah,
I
know.
Breaking the Law.
Well, no,
you
don't. Are you talking from Beavis and Butthead Breaking the Law?
Yeah, I'm talking Judas Priest.
Oh, I always thought Beavis and Butthead sang that song.
Breaking the Law. Yeah.
Breaking the Law.
You don't love Breaking the Law. I know Judas. But you love the song.
I know Judas Priest sang that. So I love Judas Priest.
I was just thinking about that. Anyway.
It's a great song.
Back to the Piz Dog and the probation. Going back to what we were talking about with the couple of cases you've had where people have been arrested, they're getting ready to go to court, and then they end up getting arrested again.
Right.
And having two situations. These are young people, I'm assuming, correct? Am I correct in the young people thing?
No. One was mid to late 40s.
Why am I thinking that it's going to be more younger people? That is just not a good way to start life. 19, 20, 21-year-old getting a couple of times going in front of a judge and having to go to jail. That is no way to start life. And probation is serious. This is stuff that's going to follow you around. And if you break probation, this is stuff that's going to follow you around for a long time.
All right, here's the deal, okay?
Okay.
I feel, and I've represented thousands and thousands and thousands of people, that a lot of clients over the years, once they're placed on probation, they find every way possible to skirt the system. I mean, there's Wizinator. There's all kinds of products that came out years ago. The Wizinator, you know, these drug tests and whatnot. I'm not saying every one of my clients tries to find a way to violate probation, but I represent a lot of students.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, look, and this is what the judge ordered. You cannot do this. You cannot go to places where alcohol is served. First of all, you're under 21. You're not supposed to be drinking. I mean, look, we know how that is.
Right.
But still, when you're on probation, but a lot of these clients say, when am I going to be drug and alcohol tested? So why are they asking me in the first place? You just were told you're not supposed to drink or go to places where alcohol is served.
Uh-huh.
So they're young. They're in college. And they have all these landmines and social pressure. That's all I want. I know. Look, I'm not saying every single person violates probation, but we're human.
But on top of that, these kids, 18, 19, 20, they also think they're indestructible. They don't think anything's ever going to happen to them, and they don't think about the consequences of their actions later on in life. You violate probation, what happens to you, Piz?
You can go to jail.
Yeah.
There's a real possibility of that, and my client did.
Okay.
And if you violate probation, and the case that you violate, when you're placed on probation, let's say you get 7411 for possession of marijuana. So 333.7411 is the statute that, you know, once you satisfy probation, it's considered a non-conviction. There'll always be a record of it. The court will always have it, but it's right. Non-public. But if you're on probation with 7411, so it's not going on your record, and you violate, one, you're going to lose the 7411 or HIDTA or deferral status, and two, you're going to go to jail more than likely. Now, not in every case, not every judge will jail someone that violates probation. Most judges I know, and I'm not just saying this to brown nose, they take it case by case.
Like they should.
They should. And most of them, if not all of them that I know, do. It's very rare that I leave court going, wow, that was not fair. I'm just being honest with you.
Right.
I throw it back at the prosecutors for not being fair sometimes on some of these driving on suspended license cases where I'm trying hard to reinstate someone's driving privileges and the prosecutors are just doing their job. But the goal of the legislators in Lansing is to get people street legal.
Sure.
So sometimes it becomes a wrestling match. But again, most prosecutors, in fairness to the prosecutors, when I approach them, I can't guarantee or promise any outcome. I'm not saying I get better deals than anybody else.
Right.
But if my client and their situation justifies it, hopefully the prosecutor will mitigate the damages to put my client in a position where he or she can then get their license restored.
Well, my question to all this is...
That was a lot.
Yeah, it was.
No, I was talking so fast. While I was talking. Oh my, am I talking too fast?
No, you're not. You're fine.
Okay.
You're fine. One more thing about probation, and then we got to go because the show's almost over. But, so you violate probation, you go to jail, that follows you around for the rest of your life. That makes life hard for you, does it not?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because now... Try to get a job.
Yeah.
You know, all these employers, what do? They get background checks.
Sure. And they're going to see that. And
I got to jump in here.
Okay.
I think the system is so fair when it comes to hiring men and women who have criminal records because they were young, they made a mistake, or maybe they got jacked by the system somehow, and it should not be held against them. And there's, because you have a felony on your record or you had a couple misdemeanors, that's a whole nother show. Don't even get me started. No, Craig.
I know.
Craig.
I know.
No. Employers and apartment complexes and the ability to do things and obtain your constitutional rights should be changed just because you have a certain type of conviction, felony and or misdemeanor, whole nother show coming in the future.
Shouldn't be, but you know it is. You know it is.
It is, because somebody said it should be, and whoever that person is, it should not be. But I see good men and women every day who are held down. The people, my people, are held down because they did something when they were younger or made a mistake that they shouldn't have, and now it's held against them, these men and women, for their entire existence. That's another show right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting from the mothership.
All I remember is that part of Ferris Bueller's Day Off where he goes, "Let my people go."
That was Moses in the Ten Commandments.
Well, it was also in Ferris Bueller's
Day Off. I don't remember the Ferris Bueller one. Hey, listen, we got to go. Yep. I want to thank attorney Robert J. Pizzielli, my best friend.
Thanks for having me here.
Rob, why don't you give out your phone number if anyone in Metro Detroit needs outstanding legal representation? Why don't you give out that phone number?
248-934-0202. 248-934-0202.
And a shameless plug for myself, 989-772-6000, Levitt Law Firm right here in mid-Michigan, the middle of the Midtown. Craig, great show. Happy Father's Day to Rob. Yep. Happy Father's Day to you. And Craig, have a great afternoon.
You too, man. Have a great afternoon. Hope you have a good day off and spend some time with your loved ones. Enjoy.
Absolutely. Craig Russell, I'm not just a litigator. Craig, take us out with some Cinderella. I'm an advocator.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush, the Grand Rapids Cannabis Attorneys. For more information on how to start your own legal medical marijuana business or attend a cannabis seminar, visit grca420.com. Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant. Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest-growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer. Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs. Happy Hydro in Gaylord and Petoskey, where the happy people go to grow. And Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.